Another effing podcast about sitcoms. I'm your host, Michelle Lykowski. I'm joined with Stan Lykowski, Luke Ward, and producer Dan. I'm not going to say his last name today because fuck you.
Wow.
Dan and Michelle have not been getting along since the start, everybody. It's getting a little tense.
I was going to say, both me and my ancestors deserve that for our difficult to pronounce last name. So
it's not difficult.
Lykowski, I think, is probably worse than McInerney in
That's
pronunciation.
True.
Yeah, and here I figured that one out.
I watched, I mean, because this is tangential but true, but I watched the first episode of Mythic Quest.
Was it good?
I liked it. It's fun. It's fun. And Danny Pudi plays the
opposite of
his usual character. But it is created by Charlie Day and Rob McElhenney. McElhenney. But I can't, again, there's something about the Mac that throws off the whole thing. No. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I say that more apologetic than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck
no,
you,
I'm not.
Mo did.
I'm not apologizing.
By the way, Luke needs a podcast called Tangential But True.
Yes.
That's a great name for a podcast.
That should be the story of my, that's my biography.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we're here for, though.
Yeah.
Not another effing podcast.
We're going to do another 30 minutes to an hour on Ted Lasso, everybody. I hope.
We're not.
I'm sorry, Dan has just sent me Dan sent me a text. I'm sorry.
So what we are doing is we're back on our series of talking about AV Club's 25 best episodes of the last 25 years, again written in 2015, so this is 1990 to 2015. And the episode we're talking about today is the episode from the English sitcom Spaced, which was called Gone. It was season 2, episode 5, written by Jessica Stevenson and Simon Pegg, directed by Edgar Wright, and the original air date was March 30th, 2001. We can talk about different things. One thing I thought of that I apologize to both you guys and the audience that had not occurred to me is, why don't I read what the AV Club had to say about it?
Oh, my gosh!
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so I'll try. It's a lot, so I'll try to do this quick. But what they said was, a lo-fi series with hi-fi ambition, Space was never content with being just a hangout sitcom. Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines' story of two slackers who view the world through the lens of pop culture was elevated to surreal heights by Edgar Wright's stylized direction, allowing the series to move far beyond the trappings of its modest premise. Gone captures Space sensibilities at its best, a simple story of two friends going out to a pub is heightened by ominous presence of a youth street gang desperate for the pair's bag of marijuana. Structurally complex and visually engaging, Gone remarkably still retains the shaggy rhythms of a night out on the town, even though it's punctuated with mimed gun battles set to Sam Barber's "I'd You Go for Strings." I don't know, but it's a well-known...
I think it's McInerney for Strings.
Yeah, exactly. Most importantly, Gone showcases Space's ability to deftly move between tones with muted moments, sitting comfortably next to silly action-packed ones, all strung together by Wright's visual signatures, quick cuts, whip pans, and frequent close-ups. It's how Space can open an episode with a showdown on a dark, empty street and close it with a group of friends stoned out of their minds watching television. So, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a great descriptor.
Yeah, I have a question.
I don't think you meant a thought on that.
Is Jessica Hines, Jessica Stevenson the same
person? I'm sorry,
person?
Yes, she got married and she changed her.
Yes. Because in IMDb, I looked it up, and they didn't do the thing that they usually do in IMDb, which is like, as Jessica Stevens, but, because I watched the credits, and I was like, oh, it's written by the two of them, that's interesting. And then I went to IMDb, and I was like, wait, there's a different Jessica, okay. But
yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, and yeah, it's the same person. Yeah, she changed her name when she got married. And we on Ted Lasso, we just talked about this. I don't know if we want to tell a secret. We just recorded that.
Yeah.
So it's fresh in our minds. But because we talked about the writer's room, England is different. Every episode was written by the two of them and directed by Edgar Wright.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
But they also did 2 seasons of 8 episodes each, which is very
different. Yeah. And also, not to knock it, I actually loved this, but it doesn't have quite the depth that Ted Lasso, you know.
Yeah.
No.
And that's fair. Well, the show is also, you know, 20 years older. I mean, I'll let you speak in a second, Stan, but sure. I just want to say, I'll sprinkle this in, but pretty much everything about this, because I will say I love this show. And I'm glad to hear that it seems like you guys at least liked it. I love this show. But watching this again, I was like, oh, this is just a litany of everything that has changed, both
yes.
in the world and yep. in my life in the last 20 years. So
yeah.
it was very funny to go back and watch it.
I had seen handful of episodes probably close to when they came out. I never watched it start to finish. I am going to now. But the thing that I could not believe, it's like, hey, could you take every trope of what indie rock and the 90s to 2000s looked like and compress it into like a 22-minute show? Like, but I did, I literally did clothing bingo. I hit like 9 out of 10 of the
really
things.
Did.
I'll go in, I'm saying it now. I had a wallet chain. I wore the That's tennis right. wristband.
Yep.
I literally wore a beret for a while I was in college.
Oh, no.
I had a goatee. I had the spiky hair that he had. All of that shit. I was like, I'm home. This yeah. is everything that I used to do. And because that wasn't enough, their house is littered with posters of like
yes.
The Simpsons and like yeah. I think the X-Files is on a wall. I yep. think Buffy's on a wall.
Buffy's definitely on yep. a wall.
So I was like, if I was 30 or close to 30 and actually had enough money to live out, that's probably what my place would have looked like.
Did you wear this beret in clown college or is this another college?
This was not clown college. Okay. I was in regular college and it was a blue beret. Oh. As embarrassing as it sounds, it was a huge hit with my friends.
Oh, I was going to say, back then, yes, it would have.
It sure. was a huge hit. I had blue Doc Martens and a blue beret that I wore, and it was the biggest, like, not the big, everybody carried me on their shoulders everywhere I went. But
Stan, the blue guardian angel.
Actually, I had a friend who was a guardian angel in San Francisco for a short period of time. That's another story for another
You had
day.
The friend for a short period of time, or was
he was only a he was only a guardian angel for a short
okay,
period of time.
That's what wow. I needed to.
But also to sort of bring us, I guess, back on track. When you said litany, Dan, what I thought you were going to finish with is it was a litany of like jokes tied together. Like, I feel like the plot is loose and the jokes are tight. Like, yes. Whereas with Ted Lasso, I mean, not that we have to keep talking about it, but like both are very tight. But here, I just feel like it's like people who want to have a lot of fun and string a bunch of funny things together.
Yeah. Yes. I read in the trivia because I went down an IMDb hole. With this, and apparently Simon Pegg used to do stand-up, and he had always tried to figure out a way to have an imaginary gun battle in his stand-up, and he couldn't figure out how to do that, so he wrote this episode.
Oh my god, and it was so much fun.
So great. I love that the gang was in it, too.
Ugh.
I mean, and then that, I mean, I don't know if we want to talk in order or not, but that's the way they resolve it is just, it's
really
well written.
Well, it starts with it. Yeah. We just don't know it.
Well, okay. So I have some questions. I've not seen the show. It was one of those shows that a couple people said to me like, oh, you're going to love it. And I sat down, I think I watched like the pilot and I was like, I don't love it. So I'm turning it off.
Okay.
And so, but it was just the kind of thing like, you gotta watch it.
It's like us and Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Or Central Park, quite good. Or Fleabag, you gotta watch it.
I can't.
Michelle will watch it. And then I actually think our podcast will end if she actually watches it.
Yeah. It will implode on itself. Which came first, the smash cut to a joke on Spaced or the smash cut to a joke on 30 Rock?
Oh, Spaced.
It's gotta be Spaced.
Well,
right?
I mean, Spaced is before. Yeah. I mean, it was, it definitely was. I mean, this is sort of in line with like something like Malcolm in the Middle, which came a little earlier.
Yeah.
Felt, that sort of quick cutting and stuff.
And
but,
Scrubs too, right? I don't know where Scrubs falls.
98.
Scrubs comes it starts in 98? Okay, yeah. So Scrubs is a little...
I made that up.
Okay. Well, anyway. I believe Scrubs is 1973. I'd have to check on that. But yeah, I mean, well, one thing
2001.
Say what? Yes. Oh, it did. Okay, so it's the same.
All right. Yeah.
This is 2001 as well. What I was going to say was, so first of all, one of the things that, speaking of how the world has changed, was I probably watched the whole series around 2003. The way I saw it was someone gave me bootleg VHS tapes that they had a friend had sent them from, from England. and they dubbed them over and gave them to me. So
they dubbed them from English into American.
Well,
no. I'm saying they made a copy.
Yeah. But but because the frame rate is different in England, you would have to dub.
So
the NTSC to from PAL to NTSC or NTSC one to two.
What would it look like if you didn't dub it?
It would look weird.
It would be blurry, or
it would be all jittery.
Yeah,
because it would anyway, it's not important. The reason why was because I worked at a film archive where we had PAL machines and basically everything else, and so this friend who was a person I worked with would get stuff from England and would be able to copy it over into.
Did you,
VHS.
Dan, feel like you were really on had like an insider thing by being able to see these shows?
Yes. Yeah, and so I was the obnoxious person who would have been telling Luke, you got to watch it. Yeah. It's so great.
But how, Dan? How?
Oh, my God. That sounds just like me.
But yeah. So, I mean, again, watching like a bootleg copy that had been sent, you know, had this complicated way of getting it as opposed to now just firing up Amazon and watching it. The other thing was
that you fire up Amazon.
Yeah.
Doesn't you start turning the crank.
you gotta throw in a couple of logs. Really get the fire stoked. But no, and then you know, because I was roughly the age of that they were. So this idea of like totally everything they were doing was like just hanging out, playing PlayStation. Like there's that quick bit where just like, well, what are you going to do if we don't go out? And it's the fast motion of him just playing PlayStation all night long while everyone else is doing stuff until the sun comes up. Like that's like exactly what my life would have been. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff now that's like, okay, it seems like a cliche, but at the time seemed really exciting and fresh, which was like, what if it was a show just about slackers? You just hang out all day and like, you know, and get into these misadventures, and there's no real plots to a lot of the episodes, honestly. And it was so stylish, like the lighting and the you know,
comic art. Who did that art?
I don't know. He's an artist in the show. A lot of his fantasies are drawn because he's a cartoonist.
Great art.
So, well, so a couple things, right? So in this episode, the two main characters decide to go out, right? And they do the Edgar Wright thing. Or Simon Pegg, or whoever, you know. There's a lot of stuff in this that, because I saw Shaun of the Dead, that was the first thing Edgar Wright thing I'd ever seen.
Instantly in love.
I was like, wow, this is stylized and cool and whatever. And I did, you know, watching this episode of Gone, I was like, oh, okay, got it. This is with his training wheels, and that was him taking that off and riding the bike, and they've evolved, like. I think part of the reason why the characters are a little bit more two-dimensional than, say, Ted Lasso is like they're just getting their footing. They're finding their legs as writers and performers and things and director. But they did the thing that they do in a lot of the movies where they're like, okay, here's the plan. And then you see the plan in real time while they're describing it. And it turns out it's a flashback. And you see the one woman's plan in real time, and then you see Simon Pegg's plan as a storyboard. And to me, I was like, did they run out of money? And if they did, great way to do it. You know, that like it seemed to me that they just were like, they just drew the plan. They didn't even animate it. Like it just drew it and panned around it. And I was like, okay, cool. They ran out of money, but creative way to do it, you know.
You're supposed to, well, that's the great thing too, is that there's a mix of different styles and mediums, because he is a comic book artist, I think, and so a lot of times
he is a comic book artist. He works in a comic book store, but he is a comic book artist.
Yes. So anyway, and I love that, and then I love like they tell the two plans, and then they're like, "Well, what are we going to do?" He flips the coin, and then it's the money hitting the bar. It's a clip, and then they're both, because he says they're going to get stoned on the train, and so they're both stoned. So you know what they've picked without saying it is so great.
It's funny because it took me a second, because when they order the pub at the pints, I was like, oh, it's her plan, and then they just were like, what?
Right,
Chris, what? And I was like, oh no, it's his
two crisps, two crisps.
Yeah.
A sandwich.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say because now I'm thinking. Not having seen all of these, is the crux of the show that she has a crush on him and he sort of doesn't know?
Not really. So the first episode is that Simon Pegg gets kicked out of his apartment because his girlfriend breaks out to him. and then she is like squatting or something. I haven't watched in a long time. Squatting. But so they just randomly, even though they literally just met, they decide to get an apartment together.
But it takes them a long time. They're sitting in the same restaurant for like, I'd say 2 weeks. And they just keep showing up at the same restaurant. She's poring over the, not one ads, because that, I want apartment ads. What is that? What are those called? Home?
I don't know.
Pages?
She's looking for a house.
I think it's want ads. Yeah, no.
Okay. Anyway, so she's pouring over it. He's in the same predicament, but he just is sitting there cheering her on. You're gonna find something. This is gonna be fine. And then eventually, she breaks down and she's like, "I'm never gonna find anything." And they both, she reads it out loud. The one ad is, an apartment, really nice, two bedrooms, must be a professional couple. So they must have jobs and they must be in a relationship.
Ah, got it.
So is
that a big part of the show? Do they have to put a ruse on for that?
Yes. And so it's a little Three's Company in that way. And the episode right after this has Ricky Gervais in it as the guy.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
As the guy who was the typesetter at the, that's not what he does.
Anchor?
The guy who answers the phone at the newspaper with the one ad, and the woman never says it has to be a professional couple. So this is season two, right? And the next episode, they're going out to dinner for her birthday, which is what they talk about during this episode. And she comes clean to the woman, house lady's woman, with, you know, we're not a couple. And the woman is devastated. And she's like, "Why would you have lied to me?" And she's like, "Because your ad said that they had to be a professional couple." It's really, really fucking smart and good. I love it.
I'll check it out. All right, we'll check it out.
But I think
you should watch all of it.
I think sort of the running joke, because they do it in this episode where they do is you think they're going to do a will they, won't they? Because he's like, you know, someday maybe we'll find the right person.
Right.
And it looks like maybe they'll kiss. And then they just immediately move past it. So I think
she doesn't.
That's
no,
why.
I know. But I'm saying I think that was part of the joke is that you think there's going to be something there. And then they're
so you don't see her pining after him elsewhere in the series.
No, you do.
You do a little bit. Yeah. Right. But I'm just saying, like, you think they're going to kiss.
Right.
And, like,
just
have
in
be
that,
a thing.
Yeah, in that moment.
And then, so.
Anyway. They just do hand stuff.
Yeah, yes.
But just, he also friends. Seems upset.
It's over the pants, though. It's over the pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We talked a quick second about, like, the coin goes up and then comes down.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. I loved the, they're at
flipping
the bar.
Flipping the shots?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was great. No, but they're at the bar and they're talking. They do a flashback and then they do a flashback within the flashback. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts back. So they're in the bar, they're talking, or in the second bar, they're talking. And she says something like, "Oh, do you know the old woman who I talked to?" And it cuts to her being drunk and telling a story about.
That's the woman I was telling you about. She's the housekeeper.
Okay.
She's the one who they lied to.
Got it. So she's telling a story about how she could have been an Olympic bicyclists or something, and at one point he says
sprinter.
Off camera he says, like, "What does that have to do with it?" And she's like, "I'll tell you." And she gives this whole speech about how she was hit by a car while she was running or bicycling. Then she marries the guy, and then he gives her a drink, and that's like, and basically like Barney Gumbles it, where it's like, alcohol. And then she does a thing where she goes, "I wonder what my life would have been like without that." And then you pan to the TV, or you move on the TV, and she's the reporter on the TV. And she's like, "Well,
so
Chris."
Good.
And it's and her performance, just quick. And then she's like, "Back to you, Tim." And then it cuts back to them at the bar, and he goes, "Thank you." And so it just does this really smooth transition.
So good.
That was just simple but smart and fun, and it was great.
Yes.
It was really great.
It was great. Yeah. I mean, this is not a laugh a minute sitcom by any stretch of imagination, but it just is like the premises are so funny, the ideas are so clever, and then that little stuff just makes it just takes it to the next level. Because, I mean, obviously, Edgar Wright would go on to have an amazing career. And,
okay.
like, you can
yeah.
see a lot of the stuff that they're doing. Yeah. By the way, just to mention, there is an episode of this show, a different episode, where Tim has a fantasy about being in a zombie movie. And that's what that was the inspiration for Shaun of the Dead.
That's awesome.
They wanted, they wanted to make that a whole movie.
And they have zombie, they have a poster on their
yes.
their living room that says zombies.
Well, the other thing that's funny is I think a little hard for us to wrap our heads around, but just the other sort of running gag is that Tim is obsessed with American pop culture. As an Englishman,
right?
He loves Buffy and Simpsons and zombie movies and all this stuff that, like, you know, so he's like, loves American stuff.
Got it.
So, which I think if you were British, you would kind of key into that joke a little bit more that he likes.
Well, they do make a great reference at the end, which I love because it sometimes you when people make references to pop culture things, they do it throughout the whole thing, so it's like one big
right
giant, like we keep paying, you know, it's like we talked about Arrested Development when they would do Charlie Brown, and like there would always be Charlie Brown references throughout the whole thing. This, you know, the main bad guy, played by Peter Serafinowicz,
yes,
who's
yes.
Awesome. He is doing his best Alec Baldwin.
Oh, his voice so good.
And I love that, like, Simon Pegg does it back to him at one point, and then he's like, but at the very end, as it comes full circle, this gang that like attacked Simon Pegg and the Jessica for not having, they do the old oregano weed yeah. confusion
right.
thing.
Which I love, by the way. I'm sorry. I don't know if I ever realized this, is he tells her to hold on to his because
yeah.
she's less likely to get searched because she looks like a school teacher.
Yeah.
Which, so anyway, so that's how you, it goes by quick, but she has both the oregano and the weed in her pocket.
Yes.
So
right.
It's accidental later when she hands over the oregano or
right.
whatever. Or oregano, as
yeah.
they keep saying.
Yes. As you know it.
As soon as she put it in her pocket in scene one, though, I'm like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
going to be
oh,
mistaken
yeah.
for weed later. Like, yeah, there's no
yeah,
way
definitely.
That's not the next step.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as she smelled it and went, oh, baby, I was like, yeah, that's the who has oregano in a tiny bag? But so Serafino, so the gang that tries to mug them for the weed hits the car of Serafinowicz at the end.
Yes.
And it's basically the main guy and him one-on-one. And then when he kind of like not the bully nods and, you know, kind of look behind him and there's like five guys. I think he says, clever girl, or something like that.
Oh, does he? Oh, that's
because he does. And then like they jump on him and you can kind of hear weeds like rustling, like when in Jurassic Park, when the raptor kills the hunter.
Yeah,
and he's like, ow, ow, ow. But it's like there was no other
great.
Jurassic Park references in the
right.
whole thing. It was just this random Jurassic Park reference that they have during this fight scene, which I thought was great.
Well, it's funny you say that because then at the end they do a Shining reference.
When
right.
Yeah, when they're freezing, right. it says Tuesday.
So when they're say, freezing, it cuts,
oh,
and then they're sitting there frozen like, I forgot his name for a second, but at the end of The Shining.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson,
thank you.
In the first episode, they also do a Shining reference.
So
yeah, so there's a lot of references.
I've never seen The Shining.
Oh, you have?
Are you
oh,
kidding
no.
me?
No, it's
so funny, Luke.
Well,
it's really great.
We just spoiled it.
Literally, the
last shot is him getting lost in the maze in the winter, and then it cuts, and he's sitting outside, and he's frozen to death.
Okay,
and that's
they
the
call
last
it the
shot.
Ted Lasso of the 70s, Luke.
Sorry, yeah.
Uh-oh, who is that? Is that our
oh,
dog?
Oh, boy.
I am so sorry.
That dog's upset about Jack Nicholson freezing to death.
Yeah.
It did not.
Or probably more appropriate that I just spoiled The Shining for Luke. Sorry.
Great.
I'm
That's,
so he, sorry.
He's a rescue
hours
dog.
Of my life I won't have back.
He's trying to find Jack Nicholson.
That dog is trained to stop people from spoiling movies.
Yes.
But
Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
Oh, no! A dog just comes from off camera.
No!
Oh, it was a sled.
Do you guys ever watch? You guys were Kids in the Hall fans, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite sketches was the Hecubus and Master.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Evil, evil, evil. And you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to watch a movie. Oh, I think I'll watch Presumed Innocent. Oh, it's good. The wife did it.
But heck, evil, evil.
Evil here. Evil. Evil.
So good.
Oh, my God. What a great bit.
Whenever I'd spoil something, that would be, the wife did it.
Okay, we got Michelle back. What did you do to our dog?
I just put him down.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
You're stupid.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me pull up my sheet and see what else we can talk about.
Oh.
Yeah, so it ends with the Shining thing. Oh, but I was going to say was, yeah, I mean, I actually missed the Jurassic Park thing, but that was the other thing about watching the show at the time, at least, was that that was kind of a new concept, all those references. So, I mean, this can make me sound a little douchey, but the other thrill of watching the show was being like, oh, I get that.
Right.
Like,
yes.
I get that reference. Yep. I know what they're talking about. Yeah. So,
inside jokes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, just someone who was obsessed with movies and TV shows as much as the, you know, the people who made the show were.
Right.
It just felt like you're part of the club.
Yeah.
It's there's definitely a Simpsons thing to that, too, because the Simpsons does that a lot where they would reference
pop culture
refs. Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of thing where, like, you think it was something original, and that, like I thought the Hank Scorpio, was it Hank Scorpio? It's either Max Power or Hank Scorpio episode where, oh, no, it's a Max Power because he sings Max Power. And I thought it was just some song that Homer sings, but that's the Goldfinger song. And so it's a kind of thing where, like, you may not get the reference, but it's still funny. Like, I didn't get the Shining reference, but I was like, this is something, and it's funny, and it's weird.
Right.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
I will say, excuse me, that some of the, I don't care, but here I am saying it. Some of the things, they put a little bow on everything at the end. His keys happen to fall off right in front of his house. I was like, wow, that's an amazing like coincidence. And that's, then the dog shows up just as the guys are coming. It's like, okay, I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Yeah, I felt like I missed something with the keys. The dog, I was like, that's weird. Is it because it flew off? Like, I didn't.
Off the truck.
It flew off the truck. Just
happened
to be
to drive
in front
right
of their
by.
House.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. I felt that was a little weird. But I was like, okay, this is weird.
I mean, it definitely runs on cartoon logic.
Yeah. I was with it, and I thought I had watched it before. I thought I too was a Dan. But I was not, and I hadn't seen it ever before. I just remembered them in the front room, and that was like, I guess I'd seen it in passing and thinking, it's okay, like much like our good friend Luke. But I was wrong. It is so much fun. It is just, it's just candy. It's popcorn.
It's candy.
I like it.
Is Nick Frost doesn't live with them, right?
No.
He has legitimately been in the military. Like, that's his thing.
I forget. I think he is almost part of like a Guardian Angels like neighborhood watch.
Oh, so it might thing. Not. Well, he had a tank that he stole apparently.
Yeah, I think you know what it is. It's whatever Gareth is in The Office.
Yeah,
he's in some like.
It's like it's a volunteer something.
Yeah, it's like a volunteer army thing.
The territorial army.
Yeah, it's a very British thing. I guess it's sort of like the National Guard.
Yeah,
but not
I was
going to
say the National Guard.
But it's like a Dwight, like it's a way to feel empowered, right? Like it's a way to feel you have authority.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting too that like he had a very dramatic character change between performance wise, like his character from the space to Shaun of the Dead was very extreme. But I don't think that Simon Pegg's was as extreme. I mean, it was
not at all
similarities there. So it made like I'm used to Nick Frost kind of being in a bunch of different, let's say positions, but that's a different story.
Go on,
a
Luke.
Different podcast. No, but playing different
another FM podcast period
about Nick Frost. he is in a great movie that I liked in spite of myself. Was Fighting With My Family with Nick Frost. He plays, it's actually produced by the WWE, but it's written and directed by Stephen Merchant, and it is starring Florence Pugh.
Is it P-U-G-H? Because that's
Florence Pugh. And it's about a wrestling family who are like,
oh,
they wrestle, like locally, and they had their own wrestling school, and they love wrestling so much they made it their life. And Nick Frost plays this big burly wrestler dad who's married to a punk rock Lena Headey, from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Florence Pugh and her brother are both wrestlers, and Florence gets a shot at the WWE.
I believe it's Florence Pugh, by the way.
I think Luke knows exactly what it is.
Like, rhymes. Okay. We just hate last names on this show.
I
pronouncing them correctly.
But like Vince Vaughn is in it, and The Rock is in it.
It's it's Vagun.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's Florence Pagina. And no, it's actually really, but Nick Frost plays, again, a very different character from I guess what I'm saying is the guy can act.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I follow him on Instagram, and he's great there, too.
I don't remember what the movie, I guess it's The Bar at the End of the World, maybe, or
the
whatever
end
that's
of
called.
The, world.
The End
yeah,
of the
I
World.
I think it's just
yeah.
called The
yeah,
End
yeah.
of the World.
I think that came out, so I go to, I went to comic conventions fairly regularly back in those days, which I loved. And
did you wear your beret? Were you wearing?
No, Luke, two very different things. Two okay. very different things.
Okay.
The beret was my identity. Comics were my heart. The beret was my identity. Comics were my heart.
Why couldn't you bring those two together, Stan?
Okay, who am I, Elvis Costello? that's actually a Simpsons. Anyway, they had just come out, I guess, with that movie, and it was like they were supposed to headline or something the comics convention, and it was the biggest deal. And I didn't go to see them, I'm 20 years later really regretting that, like, oh, I wish I realized how much I would really like these guys, and like would have gone and pursued their fame a little more back then.
We went to.
I didn't go
with
you.
Hot Fuzz? No?
Yeah, I didn't go. I don't know if I was sick or not, but I know what you're talking about.
End of the World?
End of the World is the third one.
Yeah, I know.
Coronado?
Yeah. I'm very aware. I love these people. Like, I've always, since Shaun of the Dead, not clearly I didn't watch this television show, which I will now. But, oh my gosh, you could have gone?
I think so. It's a really vague memory, or it might have been a movie premiere where they were at it. I can't remember what it was. Anyway. Anyway, look at me pooping on this.
Well, I mean,
sucking the air out of the podcast.
All three of those movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
I think
so
End
much
of the
fun.
World. Weird, I think End of the World is actually like my favorite of the three, honestly, which I mean, I love Shaun of the Dead and I love Hot Fuzz too, but that movie's just, it's just go. Cool. I think it was sort of the thing too, where they were so confident at that point.
Right.
Like the yeah. plot of that movie gets super weird.
Very.
And
it flies
and
off the rails.
Yeah. And I love it.
Yes,
I love
it.
Like
way.
That's so great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it really showcases the Edgar Wright, the scenes like with the slamming down of the money, those
Smash
cutaways. So good. And did you guys see Baby Driver? Also,
Baby Driver was
no,
awesome.
I
oh, it's so
that,
good.
I should.
You should.
Edgar Wright. Kick for a while.
You should.
Yeah,
this is super nerdy. This is slightly tangential. This is Luke's slightly tangential corner. It did watching Spaced made me a little want to see Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I feel like it would have been amazing. For those that don't know, he had not only I think storyboard and written the script, but he shot test footage. And which they showed at Comic-Con, and then there was some sort of creative difference. I don't know all the details. I'm sure maybe you guys do. And he dropped out amicably, I think. And then Adam McKay came on for a day and then quit, and then but got writing credit because he made some major changes. And then I was going to say Penny Farthington. That's not his name. whoever the gentleman is that wrote or that directed it, who did a great job. I thought Ant-Man was great.
I liked
it. It was very fun.
But I really an fun. Edgar Wright Ant-Man would have been amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine Edgar Wright's Little Women?
All right, well, here's the plan.
Well, we got the Zack Snyder JLA cut. Maybe Edgar Wright in 20 years will do an Ant-Man cut.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Paul Rudd will look the same. So he
that's got true. He can call upon him in 20 years.
God does not age.
Yeah.
It is. It's. The Ant-Man that we have now is definitely highly influenced by Edgar Wright. Just the
yes,
especially the scene. I mean, I'm assuming that's from the original script where like they're telling the story of what happened.
Yes.
In Ant-Man, that is a very, that's the same. It's for those listening, who's still listening to this, because we'll get back to space one of these days. It is very, very similar to, okay, here's the plan. Here's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told her, you know, the Michael Pena's story is an Edgar Wright.
And why can't Michael Pena be in everything?
Like, well, I think he is.
Yeah. Well, put him in more.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
He's so, did you guys see the Dora? I bet Dan. Did you see the
I actually did. I saw about half of it, and it was very good.
It is so good. I watched it without my children, and I'm not, I didn't mean to.
Guys, I think Edgar Wright had a hand in that one, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wait,
it is so good.
Because I feel like he did.
Well, yeah.
My wife saw it with our daughter, and they really liked it.
While you're looking that up, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, to get back to space, only to say that, like, so it's amazing that so much of this is, you know, you can see where it came from in their later work, including in this episode when they do the fake gun battle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, even if it's not a direct correlation, like, definitely leads to Hot Fuzz. Like, their obsession with that kind of, like, American action movie, like, super over the top, going slow motion. I love, like, how they keep so getting shot, but then when they're on the floor, like, he pulls out the pin as he's dying and throws the grenade, and he's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, they get shot, like, 50 times during the fight and still somehow are, like, killing each other.
When they threw the fake gun...
Yeah,
and, it
hits her in the head.
And did you also see how people's clips were misfiring?
Yeah.
They were like,
I
have to give a shout out to Mike Hagan, who was on my improv team, The Office. Mike could do those battles, and we had multiple scenes where he would go out, and we nobody else would. He would do a scene like that in front of the crowd, and everybody, including us on the back wall, were just like eating popcorn watching him do it. Amazing. He was amazing at that shit. So good on you, Mike.
Edgar Wright did not direct Dora the Explorer. Mm. It was James Bobin who
Wow, we really are struggling with names today.
James blah, 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 blah. He's the guy. Actually, I didn't click on him, but I'm pretty sure is the director of Flight of the Conchords. Yeah, and the Muppet movie, the newer ones.
So good. Mm.
Yep.
Good job, Mr. Blah, blah, blah.
Good job. Oh, he directed some Ally G, too. And he's doing Clue.
They're redoing Clue?
Yes.
Anybody that... I don't want you to be off topic. We'll talk later.
According to IMDb,
I don't mean to be off topic. We've been so tight on this all. Well,
the only two stars attached to it, according to IMDb, are Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman.
That's enough. I'm in.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. They're going to pee in a fountain and switch places.
Ant-Man was directed by Peyton Reed.
Yes.
Who directed a bunch of stuff like Bring It On and Yes Man, but directed a bunch of episodes of New Girl.
Oh. So,
what?
According to his
Michelle's second favorite show.
Stop it.
Behind Fleabag.
Is there anything else we want to say about this episode of Space?
I just want my final takeaway after the episode was over was like, if I had the drive and talent and as did my friends around me at the time, this is what we would have made. Like back in the 2000s or whatever, that would have been the exact product that we would have wanted to put out. So it was such a delight to see that and go, oh, wow, it can actually be done. You know?
I mean, I sort of like I get jealous sometimes that like I didn't grow up in England, because it really does seem like if you're a halfway decent stand-up comic and you live in London, you can just go to the BBC and be like, can I have 4 episodes? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what you can do. And like, I mean, I'm sure it's not that easy, but man, it seems like everyone gets like their like a 6-episode sketch comedy show, and then like, you know, it's just
Little
like
Britain.
So much of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of those. There's a ton.
I feel like, though, I used to think that way about the 50s and 60s, because I felt like all you had to do was live in New York and walk into NBC and be like,
right,
I'd like to work with Mel Brooks. Like, okay, you go over there, you know, and it was not.
I mean,
like
talent does help.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no, but I know what Dan's saying. Like, it seems every story
that was a joke.
You hear, like, Ricky Gervais was like, oh, yeah, I was working next door, and I was like, hey, I have a show about an office. And they're like, okay, here's some money. And that's it. Like, oh, what?
Right. Well, but also,
Gervais's
again, it just
story
seems
is so crazy. Like, he was a producer for a radio show, or he was the radio show.
Yeah.
And then he hired Stephen Merchant as his assistant because he conned the radio company, radio station, to let him hire an assistant. And Stephen Merchant had no idea what a radio show was, what radio was, but he kind of wanted to work it. So it is kind of true.
But that's right. Like, but that's what I guess. Yeah, I think that's what I'm
I know. That's what you're
that.
All saying.
Yeah, it's like it's that thing of like, oh, it's like what our parents say. Like, why don't you just
right
call?
Why don't
Michaels?
You go to SNL yeah. and just get on the show?
Yeah.
Well, and I think to a certain degree this is still true. But the only thing I was gonna say was I think like for American television, it's like, oh, you want to do a TV show? Okay, it's got to be 22 episodes a season.
Yeah.
And it's got to run for at least 10 years.
Yeah. Give
so,
us
like,
the
we
3-year
need to
arc.
Build. Yeah, we need like all this, you know, it's got to be like figured out down to less detail where like the BBC will just be like, we're just going to do 4 episodes and that's it.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is figure out 4 episodes. And if it doesn't do well, it's only 4 episodes,
and I
whatever.
Think
who
Apple
cares?
TV is now looking at that model too.
Right.
Like, and that's why I don't know for sure, but I think that's why Ted Lasso was as good as it is.
Right.
Is because of that. But back to 2001 when this came out, Spaced, which is what mm-hmm. we're talking about today.
Really?
Yes. Mm. I know. Shocking. You know what else came out in 2001?
9/11?
The Office.
Oh.
No, The Office was too... Oh, you're the British Office, you mean.
The British
Office. Yeah.
Yeah. The Bridge.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yep. That's true. Yeah, yeah. So well, and those guys, you know,
Brits.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you meant Ricky Gervais was on this show. I mean, they
the
those
crossover
guys are all,
must have been, yeah.
Because Martin Freeman and I don't know the name of the woman who played
Morgan Freeman.
Dawn.
It was Martin and Morgan Freeman, I believe.
Dawn. Yeah. Is it? They're in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Now
those,
that
those
that,
guys all knew each other.
There's that scene in Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead.
When they cross. Oh, it's
when
so
they do
good.
The crossover. And I was like, that was another one of those things where like, this is referencing something that I don't understand, but I kind of do because I know that Dawn and, you know, it was their counterparts in their respective shows.
Yes.
And so I was like, good. I kind of get it, but I don't get it. So mm-hmm. now I get more of it.
Yeah.
If we ever go back to full shows, I don't know that we can do Spaced because we loved on just this one episode so much, but I'd love to do.
I'd definitely
like,
check out more. I mean,
I would recommend. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch some more. Having watched this one, I was like, well, and then, you know, again, it was just funny. I was like, oh yeah. Cause the first time I watched this, the idea of staying up all night, smoking pot and playing PlayStation was like, yeah, that was something I would totally do.
Yeah.
And now like that feels like such a, like several lifetimes ago
yeah.
that I wouldn't
so
even
many.
Think about doing yeah. that.
I'm tired just thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I played on Father's Day. I got to play exactly 30 minutes of PlayStation. I was allowed to go downstairs.
They put a timer on.
And no one could bother me for half an hour while I played
no.
PlayStation. And most of it was trying to remember how the controls worked. So long since I played. But
I was just going to say about this episode, you know, because inevitably we're going to have to like rank it or do the thing. You know, this is going to be a little tough because this is a show that I feel like we're the prime target demo. This was
yeah.
written for mm-hmm. us. And yeah. I feel like some of the, which is in a way not fair to the other shows. Mm. You know, it's like I don't feel good comparing it to like an Everybody Hates Chris because this right. is like I get everything in this episode. I relate to it. This is me. I am, you know, I do not relate to Everybody Hates Chris, but I appreciate it and I enjoy it and I laugh at it with it. So I don't know. I don't know where we would rank this above or
well,
below.
Well, we only have to do one episode at a time because it's okay. always head to head.
Oh, right.
I think it was Fizbo is still the winner,
right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah
we don't even have to worry.
The question would be,
about.
Is this better than Fizbo?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think...
I
think
have no
Luke,
problem taking out Fizbo.
Luke, I do think eventually we're going to hit something where it's just like, well, this episode just is creatively superior to Space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're saying. It does have an edge, but I think we also, at least I can, I see the cracks, but I don't care
I'm
right
scanny.
Now.
I can see the cracks.
Well, it's also funny.
This is my life, you know, guys. Did you... I have to deal with this. Is an always thing for me.
Does he say that to you when you wear pants?
I see your crack. There's the bubbles from your fat.
Oh my God.
You're so mean.
Boy, I sound terrible.
The only thing I was gonna say was, and this is not necessarily a criticism of the show, but the one thought that did occur to me watching this was like, I can't remember the last time I watched a show that's clearly so low budget.
Yeah.
Low, you know what I mean?
Like, it's clearly like, and like, it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's clearly like, there's, you know, like a lot of the episodes takes place in like one corner booth. What's clearly not in a bar because they don't show anything else when they're in that booth. And so, you know, again, like just having gone from watching Watchmen, which is like, you know, almost beyond movies, it's so cinematic and so much stuff, to this that's clearly shot, you know, on a shoestring budget. It's like, it was just really funny to go back and like, because all those old MTV and like Comedy Central shows, looking back now, were clearly shot with like $10.
Well, if you look at Strangers and, like, with Candy,
Stranger Candy or The State or any of those old shows are like, you know, have, again, they literally had no money. This is clearly the same thing, but, you know, very funny and obviously made the most of what they had.
Just it. I'm in love with their ideas, not so much like the I don't care too much what it looks like.
But it's still
cartoon. Like,
well, that stuff. But also the cartoon art is a low budget aspect. I just love that though.
And even they even made the cameras, you know, move. They did like when right at the beginning when they have all of the gang about to mug them.
Yeah.
They do the Steven Spielberg Hitchcock shot where they zoom out, pan in or push in.
Yeah.
And by the way, side tangential thought. Somebody posted on Instagram the other day about how like everybody uses the word pan, but they're using it inappropriately. You know, like it's like tilt and dolly and moo and swing, and the client just goes pan this way, pan that way, pan this way. So I'm trying to catch myself. I don't know why. I don't know why. Just because of that one Instagram post.
This has been tangential but true with Luke.
Oh, I need to get outside. Anyway.
I do want to say, technically, they're trucking because they're going backwards and forwards.
Got it. Nice. Okay.
Pan it side to side.
Yep. Yep. So they truck in and zoom out at the same time so that like they stay the same size, but the background expands.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's correct. And they did it at an angle, too, which was really interesting. So it's kind of like a little Adam West Batman with a thing. And anyway.
Yeah. So, and I mean, again, I mean, I you know, not the fault of the show, but I think Edgar Wright in everything else that he's done has done all of this better. So it's fun to see. And I think it's still a good show, but it's still, it's fun to see where it started, but knowing that he's only going to get better at this.
Think of this as I go on. Like a mustard seed.
Yeah.
The mustard seed is so tiny, but then it gets so big.
I do want to say one last trivia fact I'll end on is when, I believe they were promoting Spaced and they said something about like, well, what are you going to do next? Or I forget how it came up, but in the interview, anyway, the point being that Edgar Wright said something along the lines of like, well, I'm sorry. Simon Pegg said something along the lines of like, well, obviously I'm going to keep doing this. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be in like Mission Impossible 3. Or
shut
anything.
Up.
which I think Mission Impossible 1 had only just come out. So that was the joke that I was like, well, maybe they'll make two more and I'll be like in a blockbuster. Of course, Simon Pegg is in Mission Impossible 3 like
that's
years
amazing.
Later. So
we had him on the show for Mission Impossible 3, for the Jenny McCarthy show. And he was as lovely as you could ever imagine.
Nice. That's nice.
The other thing I will say is that he has gone out of his way
to club seals
when they talk about when they talk about, you know, obviously all the success he's had and how he started on Spaced, and people tend to not mention the fact that the show was also created by Jessica Stevenson, also now Hines, and he goes out of his way to be like, I was only the co-creator, like, don't forget about her, because she definitely was a big part.
Her career stop shortly after Space?
No,
she's still going.
She's one of those people, though, and, like, she has a huge career in England.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She
but
just doesn't
and
cross
she
over
also
very much.
Had three children.
Yes.
And that
but she is...
stops women's careers more than men.
I mean, she does show up...
Yeah, we're...
She will show up in movies... from England that come here, like she was in Harry Potter, she was in Paddington, but
she was actually interestingly only to me and a handful of other lovers of the Bridget Jones. She was in 2 and 3 of Bridget Jones. She replaced Magda. Not the bad thing, not the bad thing.
Bridget Jones.
But it's a character within the books as well as the movies, and she replaced for the last two. And I was trying to dig to find out why. Guys, I didn't get to that. I didn't find out why.
This has been tangential and possibly true with Michelle. Like
probably anyway, false is mine. Actually,
she's one of those people. For whatever reason, she's stayed in England. Nah, maybe she wanted to. But
she has three kids.
She does British stuff.
She is beloved in Belgium.
All right. Well, this knocked Fizbo off its perch.
Sorry, Fizbo.
Gone is on top. Michelle, do you happen to have what we're gonna
do sugar
next?
I had it. Because I was like, I'm gonna watch that, and it is Hold On Podcast Company of sitcoms.
Well, I'll talk about something tangential while we're here.
I have it. I have it if you want to. Okay. Do you want me to do it?
Yes.
Okay. If you're following along at home, the next two episodes that we do for this series is going to be How I Met Your Mother Slap Bet.
Ooh, right.
Which you can find on either Amazon Prime or Hulu. And then Flight of the Conchords, an episode called Yoko. I've only ever seen one episode of Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, really?
So I'll be interested to watch that and perhaps more. But you can find that on HBO Max or Hulu Premium.
Tangential but true. Yoko Ono follows me on Twitter.
Really?
Why?
What?
Why would Yoko Ono follow me?
How did that happen?
You're amazing. I don't even know.
You're a ray of sunshine that everyone should follow, but that's amazing.
I think it's amazing, and I would love to see what Yoko Ono... Yoko Ono either tweets, like, hello, flowers.
Or they're just like, bluebird.
Yeah. Or she's just like, these pot stickers are delish. It's just her at different Applebee's.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh my god! I think it's my new Twitter account, Yoko Ono at Applebee's. I think.
She's just like, okay, so number 19 in my series of frozen pizza reviews. I like. Anyway, this one reminds me of the color blue. Okay. So that's it.
Yay,
that's the end of our show.
Yay!
Okay, the funny thing to me is how these were
still
this could be a cut, but the funny thing is how these are supposed to be shorter episodes because we're only covering one thing.
I know, but I like people, and you are those people that I like. Anyways, thank you guys so much for putting through this, pulling through, listening.
Thanks for putting up with this.
Putting up with us. This was another episode of another FN podcast about sitcoms, and I am your host, Mo Lykowski.
I am Stan Lachowski.
I'm Luke Wuch.
I'm Dan the producer.
And we can't wait to play with you next week.
Bye. Let's play. Thank you.
This has been another effing podcast about sitcoms. The music for our theme song is by Ryan Satoy, and the lyrics and vocals are by our own Michelle Lykowski. Our logo was created by Luke Ward. Follow us on Instagram, and if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Another effing podcast about sitcoms will return in this time slot next week.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.